Oh no, you're listening to the Raging Robot Partycast. It's your host, Josh.
And Ryan.
Hey.
And apparently an angry cat outside, but we're just going to ignore that.
That's my life.
Yeah.
We have so many strays in the neighborhood that I'm often woken up at night just by the most horrible sound of screeching, and it, I don't know what it sounds like, but it doesn't sound human, and then I realize, oh, it's just cats.
Yeah, I've had that at like 1 o'clock in the morning watching something and just... outside my window. Like, okay, we're gonna go up to bed and take that as an omen.
Yeah, good thinking.
So what have you been doing this week, Josh?
Well, we had a week off because we wanted the next episode to be an Avengers themed one, and we had to see it. And then that same week, it was Fiesta Week here, which is a very crazy time for my wife's schedule, so I kind of needed to be present, so didn't quite have time to smush it all in. We probably could have, but we would have had a small child with us during recording, which would have made the show either worse or much, much, much better.
Yeah.
To be determined. Maybe we'll let her be a guest one day.
Maybe.
What did I do? I worked a lot. Let's see, nothing came in. I haven't gotten anything interesting lately. Made us a bunch of increasingly weird and esoteric merch, which you can buy on redbubble.com. We got shirts, we got throw pillows, we got stickers, we got notebooks.
Phone cases.
We have a sympathy card, which is not a lie. We literally do have a sympathy card.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you not see the sympathy card?
No, I haven't seen the
I'll
sympathy card.
I'll show you the sympathy card right now. This is bad audio, so just start saying words.
No, it's okay. So, I was telling Josh earlier, I've been playing through Mortal Kombat, which came out. It's fun. There's definitely a lot of changes to it. Some good, some bad. They redid the crypt, so it's more of an adventure mode now. And while it's good, the issue is it's three different things. Three different currencies earned three different ways. One of which is...
very grindy.
Yes, it's very grindy. Then you have to play through the Tower of Times, which can be straight up just unfun, because the Tower of Times, for those who aren't familiar with them, in MKX, they added a new thing where you could have fun mode. So you can have a mode where heads were falling the whole entire time that would hit you and damage you and knock you out of combos, or missiles would go, or Noob Saibot would randomly run across the screen with a knife and things like that. And Tower of Time is just those matches only.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah. And so it can be either super easy or rather unfair.
Yeah, last Mortal Kombat game I played was 9, unless you count Injustice, in which case I've played that.
Well, 2 Injustices.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've kept up from... Okay, yeah, y'all can check that out at whatsinredbubble.com. Is it /RagingRobotCast?
It is r-r-partycast, because Redbubble's URL allowance is real weird.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so you can check out that merchandise.
It'll be up on all the things that we're on shortly.
Social media and everything.
I guess it's a good time to point out that this show was produced by our only patron, Tyler Dawson. Thanks for paying us $9.
Yes, thank you, sir.
You rock.
You do.
That's very unnecessary.
But again, we do also have the Patreon. Always helps.
Yeah, get us some upgrades and equipment,
and I guess we'll knock
maybe
this
more
out.
Time.
Try to knock this out earlier rather than later. I know people hate this. I'm sorry, but it's a necessary evil of the world. If y'all like the podcast, please do like, subscribe, and rate us.
Yes, please.
We really do need those in order to move up in the world.
Even if you hate us.
Yeah. We need something there.
You don't even have to write anything. Just slap 5 stars on it. And if you want to write something, just say, great hair, or nice butt. I don't know. Just write something complimentary. Just something there. And just give us a little boost.
On whatever. Again, we're available 4 different platforms. 5 if you want to count straight RSS feed.
Yes. We will hopefully soon be on YouTube. I need to figure out how to... Well, I know how to edit that. I just need to figure out how to edit that together on my phone.
Yeah. So... Make it 6 and be videos. So, yeah, we're giving it a go and making a shot at it.
We're doing our best.
We really are. Sometimes your best just isn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, I think my exact quote was, I made a bunch of merch, which is very presumptuous that anyone would want it.
Yeah.
I have something I do want to talk about.
What is that?
We fixed Sonic the Hedgehog.
Kind of, yeah. Well, we'll see if we fix Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the movie will still be awful, but everyone was like, I don't like the way this looks, and they were like, okay, we'll fix it, we're sorry.
Yeah, I do, like, it's 2 different things. I will say that I was having this discussion with people at work of the people that are, you know, sitting there screaming, Sonic's so terrible, why did you make it so terrible, and it should have never gotten past the first person.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that design had to most likely go past multiple people, and it shouldn't have even made it past the first.
It's not what he looks like, is the main problem.
And I mean, it's small fixes. Putting his eyes, not even together, like if you don't like together, fine, but bigger.
Yeah.
Not having human teeth.
Yeah, it's real beyond Uncanny Valley weird to look at. And, friend of the show, Toys and Tomfoolery on Instagram, is quoted as saying, I don't know if I want to see it, but at the same time, I kind of do, in the same way I want to look at a motorcycle accident, even though I know that the person on the other end is in real bad shape. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's a good way of thinking about
it. That is. Well, to me, it's, I'm going to be seeing it. Will I be sober? No.
Yeah.
But will I see it? Probably.
I think it's been a very, very long time, but getting increasingly intoxicated during bad movies used to be a thing we did.
Yeah.
Never forget the summer of 2011, I think, when I said, hey, let's go see Transformers Dark of the Moon. And you said, okay, instead of, no!
In their defense, it got worse.
Yeah.
From Dark Side of the Moon, it definitely got worse. That is saying something.
I distinctly remember walking through the parking lot afterwards, being like, it wasn't that bad, right? It was okay. And you were like, yeah, it was fine. And then afterwards, I was like, that was horrible, wasn't it? And you're like, yeah, it was.
Oddly weird how much they reference Megan Fox, even though she's not part of it.
Yeah. It's almost as if someone was really upset at her and wanted to be petty.
Yeah.
As you do when you're fueled by cocaine.
And money. I do love the rap battle history. Have you ever...
I've seen some, but it's been ages.
I think it's Spielberg versus Hitchcock. And then,
okay, that's a weird take.
It is. So they're rap battling, and then I think Tarantino comes in on a helicopter. It's like, I'm the master of dialogue. What's up? And I forget who comes after. I think it's Kubrick that comes after Tarantino. It's like, you're just a ripoff of me. What are you trying to do? And then Michael Bay comes in at the very end.
And just blows everything up?
Well, yeah, that's basically what he says, is y'all can claim I'm blowing everything up, y'all can make fun of me as much as they want, but in the end, which one of y'all has the box office scores? I do. That's what the thing is. In the end, hate him as much as you want, you do still have things like The Rock, like Bad Boys. When he's on his game, he can do it.
He makes a really good certain kind of movie.
Movie, yeah. He makes a good bro movie, and
I liked Pain and Gain.
Yeah.
It was like a rip-off Coen Brothers movie almost. I don't know.
Pain and Gain, like, I remember reading the news article. Like, I read the news article that Pain and Gain is based off of, because for those of you unfamiliar, it's a 4-part news article. I think really the biggest thing that change is, it seems like they got everything except, in the article, Tony Shalhoub's character is way less of a villain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And portrayed as a victim as he actually is in real life.
Yeah, that was quite a story for sure.
It was when you actually read it.
You know what's funny is, like, I'm not even that big a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, objectively. I'm like, I don't know why.
That's what
I have
seeing online is
kind
of funny is you see a lot of people online going, I don't know why I'm so worked up about this. I never played. Like, I played the 3D games. I liked some of the 3D games.
I objectively don't like the 3D games. I had Sonic Adventure, as I had most things on the Dreamcast, and it's fine, but 1 through 3 are the money ones, and let's be honest, it's mainly 1 through 2.
I'm about to say, I have Sonic 1 on my phone because I own Sonic 1 on my phone because it was free one day.
Yeah, a lot of those Sega games on the iPhone are actually very good now. I was telling you yesterday that the Crazy Taxi port is really good, and I'm like, I don't know how you pulled this off because this should control like garbage. But yet it's fine, and it's even got the original soundtrack as it should, which is rare because a lot of ports didn't have it anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking it would be an entirely waste of time and money, and it would be the most expensive possible way, but you could, I mean, theoretically, if you could get the arcade controls to hook up to an iPad, then you could just mirror an iPad up onto a monitor using an Apple TV inside of an arcade cabinet and build an arcade cabinet that way.
What? No, there shouldn't be lag, right?
No. Huh. Not between an Apple TV and the iPad or an iPhone. Yeah, you're just mirroring. Like, it would work. It's one of the most expensive, stupid ways of building it. Like, I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Yeah, I've always actually wanted one of those machines, but I don't know if that's a less or more expensive way of obtaining it.
Eh, well, I used to own an MK2 machine, so who's to say?
But you don't have it anymore?
Nah, I sold it.
Oh.
It had another, like, I think it had MK4 or something, too, for the board.
That's weird.
Yeah. It was a really random board that came with it, also.
Very different games.
Yes. Well, it was also a converted driving cabinet, so.
Oh.
Because you can still see, like, they... We're in the state of Texas, and I bought it out of Austin, so it was covered in UT stuff. But you can still see where the fight's controls were. In the very center was where a steering wheel was, and you can still look down and kind of see where pedals went. And I'm like, it's a stand and drive, which I don't know which games. Like, I know there are a few of the micro machine games that have, like, a stand and drive thing like
cruising,
that.
Some cruising, super off-road.
Yeah.
Some OutRun cabs. That's all I can think of right now.
Yeah, but... You could very clearly see in the very center, that's where the steering wheel went, and they converted this one. It was fun for a few years while I had it.
Nice. I regret not playing on it.
Yeah.
I had a Pac-Man machine in my parents' work warehouse for a while when I was little, and the board was either dusty or just dying with age because parts of the maze would just glitch in and out where they shouldn't be, like directly in front of your path. It was fun. It was like hacked Pac-Man almost. Because sometimes you would just eat all the dots, and the round wouldn't end. You're just in there.
Blinky, Inky, Pinky, and...
Clyde.
We're just forever haunting you.
Yes, until you die, and in which case, you might come back to life, and maybe the round will suddenly be over.
You know, it's erotic, or not... Erratic Pac-Man.
It's erotic.
Yes. Alright, so.
Should we try these M&Ms?
Let's try these M&Ms. So, they finally put them out. Like, either they finally put them out, or I missed it the first time around, and they just stuck more out at my work. But, so I brought in hazelnut spread M&Ms, because either M&M just told Mars to...
Do it.
Nutella just told Mars to screw you so you can't use the Nutella name or something, but we do have Nutella M&Ms.
All right.
To try. All right.
Let's see how it goes. I will try literally two, except I'm holding three. All right. This is hopefully not terribly crunchy audio. Alright. It tastes the same. Wait. I got it.
Yeah. That sort of thing is, it seems like a rather efficient way of getting Nutella. But it's also an off-brand Nutella, like I said. Yeah, that's the reason. They're not bad. But the reason it's labeled hazelnut spread is it's an off-brand Nutella, and you can tell that that is an off-brand Nutella.
Yeah. Doesn't Ferrero, or however you pronounce that, own them?
Ferrero?
Yeah.
I think so, or something like that. Ferrero. Extremely fancy chocolates.
Very. Allegedly. They might be.
Who knows?
They're very crunchy. I have nothing else that happened in my week. Did you see any important movies?
I might have saw one. What about you?
I did as well and didn't expect to.
Yeah.
It was dropped on me that Sunday morning as a surprise. And I was like, oh, cool. How'd you do that? So we saw Avengers Endgame. This is probably the point of the podcast where you should stop listening if you have not seen it and pause and come back when you have.
And yes, just because people have a tendency to ignore them, spoiler warning, this is going to be a full spoil podcast of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, we will give you an audio cue, which will be, I guess, the 16-bit Avengers theme. Maybe it was 8-bit.
Yeah,
and either way. That will start right now. Oh no, there's spoilers. Okay, so what'd you think about the movie?
I really liked it. It definitely, like, they had a monumental task in front of them, ending 11 years of children, of people's childhoods and adult lives.
I know that my life certainly changed between that time period.
Yeah. And so, for them to do that as well as they did, it really caught me off guard. It's also the first film in the series that has a sense of finality to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Iron Man 3, kind of, and I know that's what annoyed some people, because if I remember correctly, Robert Downey Jr. was not going to come back and just said, I owe my career to Iron Man, I probably should come back.
Yeah. Iron Man 3 was rough. I liked it at the time, but...
Yeah, well, in all honesty, both 2 and 3 are rough, but it's kind of one of the things, so it's like, if that's your worst... Then I still think you're doing okay.
Even the worst of Marvel movies are still fairly decent. The main problem with The Incredible Hulk is the guy is no longer in the franchise, and I don't remember anything about it once it's over.
Yeah, that's... I haven't seen Incredible Hulk, and I haven't seen Homecoming. I don't know why, just...
I'll go ahead and put it on record. If you're gonna watch all of them, just don't bother with The Incredible Hulk. They established Banner well enough in Avengers 2012.
Yeah.
Because it's not even going to look like him when you're watching The Incredible Hulk. Because it's not Mark Ruffalo. It is Ed Norton. And that movie was just kind of there. It was the very baby era of Avengers when they were starting out. Which immediately before that was Iron Man, I believe, right?
Yeah. So that was the big thing is... Robert Downey Jr. makes an appearance, and so that was, like, kept under wraps so hard. Like, they weren't owned by Disney at that point. It was still just Marvel Studios. Iron Man saved Marvel.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, history happens. They get bought by Disney. Jack Kirby's family sues.
Yep.
Things happen.
You know what's funny, and I was going to save this for the general MCU episode. Hold on, I got an alert coming in. Oh, well. It's the ring notification. It's not at my house, though. So, I didn't want to see Iron Man. Because that was during the time frame when the Iron Man brand was straight up poison. Because it was following the events of the actual comic book Civil War. And he was not the most well-liked character at the time.
I was about to say, this is pre-Demon in a Bottle, right?
Oh, that's well after Demon in a Bottle.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, Demon in a Bottle, I think, was 80s or 90s era, because he still had the bad hair and mustache.
Yeah, that sort of thing is... I always say the closest, like, for those of you who are unaware, we'll do just a small thing. The closest Robert Downey Jr. ever gets to acting like comic book Iron Man is when, in Avengers, is when he stops in the middle of the fight to go get the drink.
Yeah.
and when he's talking to Loki, and not even talking to Loki, I'm not even talking about talking to Loki, it's literally just the fact that he stops a fight to go get a drink.
Yep.
And that's probably the only thing that comic book Tony Stark would have ever done.
Yeah, but ironically, my other friend named Ryan was like, dude, shut up, just go watch it. And I'm like, but I don't like Tony Stark anymore. He's like, shut up, just go watch it, trust me, it's fine. It doesn't have anything to do with anything that happened in the comics. Just watch it. Just enjoy it. And I said, okay. And so I did. And I was like, hey, that was really good. So that kind of kicked it all off for me. And, well, obviously. But where I really, really caught on was Captain America. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah. That it is. So we're come to the opening of the film. It literally starts at the end of Infinity War.
Yeah. And I'm surprised they actually showed this on screen.
Yeah, so am I. So, it does do something that I think I'm a bit disappointed by, because I don't know the implications of it yet. We'll see.
Okay.
It's him teaching his daughter to shoot the bow, and he calls her good job, Hawkeye. I'm like, I hope that doesn't mean you're going to replace Kate.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. But
even still, if we get a Kate name only, it's better than none.
Yeah.
I think we're the only people who are really on board with her, by the way. Yeah. I know she has a fan base, but...
Well, about to say, she definitely has a Marvel Stan fan base behind her on Twitter.
Yeah, there's equal amounts who are like, we hate her.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Marvel Stan fan base in a little bit. But
we're, of course, talking about fans of Sebastian
Stan. Yes.
We're not.
Well, can I just a little small sidebar? We've gotten to the point in nerd culture that we're stealing terms from hip-hop culture now.
Yeah, everything's hip-hop.
Because, like, I didn't realize until it was my Alexa that popped up the story that Stan came from Eminem.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh. I just saw Stan start popping up at the beginning of this year. I've seen it used once or twice last year.
You didn't know that the whole time?
No.
You could ask me.
Yeah, I know I could have, but...
You know, I'm basically like a junior Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Speaking of hip-hop, we got a new radio station in San Antonio, which I pretty much only listen to terrestrial radio in my car and podcasts at work because my aux cord is no mas. And,
yeah.
If I'm going to listen to radio, I'm going to listen to a station like that. And the other one we had was just not coming in at all. So we got a new one. And I was driving into work on Saturday for some overtime. And I was like, nice, because, you know, I got some DMX on. I'm waking up and everything. And immediately followed up with My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. And I was like, ah, you just immediately killed my vibe. But anyway, go on.
Nah. Yeah. That, yeah. But, so, what we're talking about is essentially Clint's under house arrest, having fun with his family, turns around to put away the bow.
Yeah, and this was rough.
Everyone was.
Everyone is dust in the wind, literally.
His whole family turns to dust, and you're just like, dang, because it's continuing, and that's one of the things that I like about that Endgame, or Infinity War, forgive me, did really well, is... There's no music on those credits. You are left to sit in that theater in silence.
Yeah, that definitely gave some further gravitas and impact to everything.
And the exact same way is his family gets dusted, and you are left to sit there in silence as Clint's life is falling apart.
Yep, so where do they immediately follow up after that scene?
I believe it's cut straight to them at the Avengers... headquarters.
So they pretty much just smash into going and Thor cutting off Thanos' head.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the next beat within the first 15. Is it first 15 or first 20? Do you think?
It was really
like
early
first
on.
15 to 10 minutes. In all honesty, is they cut back. We get to see Captain Marvel. She has a new hairstyle. She looks really freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Because she is really freaking awesome. Captain Marvel and Rocket. Point up and are like, okay, so we don't know where he went. Oh, Nebula also, but
yeah,
because Nebula's suddenly a character out of nowhere.
Yeah, she had a large role in this movie.
She did.
For certain.
She sits there. We don't know where they went, where Thanos went after the snap.
And the answer is, He went to go tend to a garden.
Yeah, literally. And so...
growing some durian fruit.
We are told that it was always his plan to retire after the snap.
That's a nice retirement plan. Let me just kill half of everybody and then just go chill.
Yeah. So he does it. He retires after the snap to the planet. They are told that, you know, the biggest burst of energy that ever happened on Earth happened again. And so then they go to get Thanos. They go to the planet. They argue with Thanos for a little bit about trying to get the stones back. Thanos tells him he used the stones to destroy the stones, which is weird. But, yeah, he gets told no dice. And Thor cuts off his head in revenge, which will lead to something down the road.
Yeah, end credits. Movie's over.
Yep, it was really short. No. Yeah. We cut to the SpongeBob 5 years later. And that is where the story slows down for a bit. Now, this film is, of course, famously 3 hours long.
Yep.
It moves at a good pace. It never feels 3 hours long.
No, it really didn't.
At the exact same time, do you think we needed the whole entire 5 years later sequence, like every piece of it?
I liked it.
It's not that I'm saying it's bad, and I know, like, if you're a filmmaker and you're told you can take a full 3 hours to tell your story, you're gonna do it, but yeah. Do you think they could have trimmed it to 30? Especially parts of this?
Maybe. I mean, without that, would I still get Clint Barton doing weeb trash stuff and me being way into it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'd like to speak to that. So, suddenly Hawkeye gets a sleeve tattoo just on one arm, gets a new haircut, and goes and plays Yakuza in real life in Japan.
Yeah.
Just straight up murks some dudes in the street. Because he is now Ronin, which is a role he took on in the comics after the Civil War. Basically written to just be like, oh, can't be Hawkeye anymore, because that's illegal now. So I guess I'll just be Ronin and fight with swords, because that's the thing I can do. And it's, you know, of course, revealed later on, oh, who's this mystery man? Oh, it's Hawkeye, cool. So that happens in the comics. That happens in the movie, but I don't necessarily feel like they needed him as Ronin. They didn't necessarily need to work that in. I appreciate that it was just lore from the books, but...
Well, it definitely is. As we were saying, his family gets dusted. Is it kind of weird that, yeah, like, the moment his family gets dusted, he's, like, able to get out of prison?
I suppose
it could be applied that he could have always, and that he's just choosing to stay under house arrest.
Maybe all the people who were watching him are now dead.
Maybe, because... Ant-Man gets off house arrest before, I guess.
Yeah.
Clint does.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Clint goes and kills people with swords. Apparently he does it a lot. It's his thing. Because, you know.
Yeah, he
had a bad day, obviously, and now he's into killing dudes with swords.
Yeah, he starts in Mexico and then goes to Japan, I guess.
Yeah.
So one of the things we are shown is that Black Widow is now the head of, I would say, S.H.I.E.L.D., but technically just the head of the Avengers themselves.
Yeah.
Those few that are left.
Makes sense. I was actually okay with that, and I think she's done high up things in S.H.I.E.L.D. before.
She definitely has, like, I mean, obviously not in the MCU because she'll never be referenced in the MCU, but Quake is head of S.H.I.E.L.D. at one point in time.
Yeah, this is true.
Because television and movies don't get along in Marvel.
Except when they do.
Yeah. Except for the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and after that they just kind of drop it.
Yeah, it's really crazy how they were like, okay, guys, just spin your wheels for, like, a bunch of episodes till this movie comes out, and then go.
Yeah. We'll eventually cover Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably later down the line, but yeah, first season.
Quite possibly. It was good.
The first season and the series basically get saved by Captain America Civil War. Or not Civil War, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier.
Which was a good twist. It worked out for the best.
It was, which does actually get referenced here, but we'll get to that.
Does it ever. So, I actually really liked the scene with Ant-Man coming out of the quantum realm and being like, oh man, what happened?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they really milked it for all it was worth and played it up, especially with the scene with the kid on the bike where he's like, hey, kid, what's going on? The kid's like, and just leaves.
Yeah, like he's just crazy. One thing I will say is, you know, people are probably already have, and I haven't looked up online yet, when he goes to visit the memorial wall.
Oh, yeah.
How many, like, what do you think? Three names that are probably references somewhere in there?
I'll be honest with you, I barely paid attention to who was on it.
Yeah, that was my thing, is I wouldn't have, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm sure this is the exact same thing as the hit list in Winter Soldier, where Stephen Strange's name was on the hit list in Winter Soldier.
And of course his van was parked in space 616.
Yeah.
I liked Cap leading the survivors group. That was a good Cap moment. Makes sense. It's also what Sam was doing. Doing a PTSD for veterans group in Winter Soldier. So it was a bookend.
It was a nice parallel to that. And I definitely think it kind of leads into something that's the end. In the comics, he always is more established. I don't think they established it quite as well in the MCU. He's always, in the MCU, been a man out of time, almost.
Yeah.
He never quite, like, became part of the century like he does, I think, in the comics.
Yeah. I think that's about right. It just kind of depends on how you perceive the passage of time between movies, I guess.
Yeah. Well, even the passage of time, you know, again, Avengers happens pretty early after he thaws out of the ice, I guess. Oh, yeah.
It's like more or less the first thing he does. It
does, yeah. Then Solid Snake happens in...
Good times.
He becomes the soldier. He gets mad at being the soldier, being the good soldier. But he never truly, like, he always... Way more here, he always still seems like he longed to go back.
Yeah. Well, he had reasons.
Yeah, he did.
And maybe it was a feeling of unfinished business, or perhaps it was he missed somebody.
Maybe. So do you think that the Rat is the true hero of Avengers Endgame?
Yes. Of course I do.
People trying to get the reference is the Rat that...
It's the same Rat from The Departed.
Yeah. In The Departed, at the very end, I always kind of wanted Mark Wahlberg shoots. I always wanted to just, like, turn around and then Alec Baldwin standing by Mark Wahlberg with a gun and then just shoots Mark Wahlberg with the gun. Then just turn around and the Rat accidentally sets off a gun that kills Alec Baldwin.
The Rat survives.
The Rat's the only one that survives. But a Rat runs across the power board for the machine.
Yep.
And brings...
Gotta come back somehow.
Yeah. Scott, who apparently can't get out of a cage for some odd reason.
Yeah, I guess he could have made himself big, but maybe he didn't want to cause property damage because he's a nice guy.
Or maybe he knew that he couldn't get many pimp particles left, but...
Yeah. You gotta save up your pimp articles.
Which I do like that joke.
That's my favorite joke from anything Deadpool ever. I'm not a big, huge, by any means, Deadpool fan, but... Taskmaster talking about pimp articles was my favorite Deadpool thing.
Yeah. That. So he comes out, he seeks out the Avengers, because a lot of people, we weren't sure if he was going to be a Centauri, but they end up being the good guys in Captain Marvel, don't they?
The Skrulls?
The Skrulls, I mean, yeah. Not Centauri Skrull.
Yeah, I believe they did. They pretty well, because I remember reading about that flip that oh, look, it's the Skrulls. Oh, no, invasion, except they're fine, apparently.
Yeah, like, I,
to be determined.
I'm fair. I didn't see Captain Marvel for DC. That's the only other one I haven't seen. Or Marvel, so, because I didn't see Shazam either, so I'm like, I'm playing it straight and narrow and fair. I didn't see either one.
Yeah.
Can't claim biased.
My kid saw it without me.
Did you?
Yeah. By the way, if your kid is quiet and well-behaved, they can survive this movie.
Yeah.
Mine did it perfectly fine. Just watched the whole thing. Just chilling. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. How'd you do that?
It was kind of funny because I went and saw it on Tuesday, so I was with a lot of people that were seeing it either with friends that have, or a lot of people doing second showings from their Saturday showing. And so you could definitely tell the difference between people that hadn't seen it, like me, that are sitting there, and all I had was candy, and that was it. Like, no liquids whatsoever, and then you see people holding, like, giant beers and water bottles and things like that.
No, I had to go to bed, and I did not pee throughout the whole movie whatsoever.
So you took the Iron Bladder Challenge?
I survived the Iron Bladder Challenge, and all I did was destroy my bladder.
Yeah, that was the thing. Is I chose not to. I fast when I go on car trips anyway, so I'm like, I can do it for this.
Yeah.
Winning at fast food as soon as it ended because I was starving. But.
So I was always kind of so-so on Tony Stark. I liked him in the first movie and then kind of yo-yoed on him throughout the rest of everything.
Yeah.
But once they made him, like, a dad and made him a family man, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to like him, aren't I?
Yeah, that was definitely a decision that came as a shock. So Captain Marvel saves Tony from outer space, which everyone saw coming after the first trailer of him going, oxygen runs out tomorrow. It's like, no one believed that that was going to, he was actually going to die that quickly. And then the next trailer put him back on Earth. So it's like, duh. But we get to the time jump, as I said. And it turns out that Tony has a kid now. Pepper survived.
Yep.
And Tony is, in all honesty, like, doing the best out of all the Avengers. He's the only one that learned to move on.
Yeah, pretty much. He's seemingly doing pretty all right for himself. And he's like, I don't want to do any of this stuff anymore. And then he's still, like, building things and figuring out how to fix things.
I did also, I enjoyed the fact that it added the extra wrinkle of there's a reason that they don't go back and just reset the timeline entirely is Tony doesn't want to lose his family.
Yeah, which, yeah,
perfect. So they have to figure out how to do it without just 100% resetting the timeline. Because we'll get to the very next thing we learn, what we learned prior, is once Ant-Man comes out, he explains that the 5 years he was in, the 5 years out there, he was only in the Quantum Realm for 5 hours.
Yep.
Not nearly enough to gain healing powers.
It was, I guess that all checks out. Sure. Yeah. It's comic book science. I apparently look like Smart Hulk.
Yeah. So you're saying that, like, Professor Hulk shot up, like, 60% value or something like that?
Yeah, the very first appearance of Professor Hulk in the comics, that was, like, literally worth cents before. And as soon as Avengers Endgame came out, it spiked immediately in its value.
Yeah, so for those of us trying to figure out what, they go to Tony. Once again, Tony says, no, I'm happy. Y'all need to learn to move on with your life. And that's something that Steve was hammering on to people, is you need to learn to move on. And even Steve's like,
can't do it.
Yeah, Steve's like, can't do it. And but, however, Tony is technically right.
Yeah.
But, so, that happens. The next person they turn to is Hulk.
Hulk was great in this movie.
And so, he is now Professor Hulk, meaning that he is not as strong.
But he's really smart.
But yeah, he is really smart. And so it's
traditionally, and reasonable.
Yeah. Traditionally, I think it's done by the fact that Banner agrees to give up his body to Hulk. But he gets, in exchange, Hulk doesn't get 100% control of the mind. Banner gets to control something, so he's still technically a rageaholic.
Yeah.
But in this, they just took it back and basically split it 50-50. Is he loses his strength, but he has the ability to use Banner's mind entirely.
Yeah.
We get to our first true comedy in the thing. Which, some of the stuff definitely felt like Waititi and James Gunn helped them write it.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see that.
Yeah. But, so they go to Professor Hulk. We get, like I said, our first true comedy in the the diner scene of kids taking picture with Hulk. And Ant-Man asking if they want a picture with him. Like, getting denied.
Like, no, we're okay. And he insists on it. It's funny.
Yeah, it's a very good scene. We get the next scene of them attempting to time travel because Tony realizes that he can't drop it. That
it's got to keep doing it.
It's his way. It's his mind. We get I Love You 3000 out of this scene.
Yeah.
He solves time travel. We get a very entertaining scene of them going through.
Yeah.
Attempting to time travel with Ant-Man.
Yeah, he gets turned into like a baby.
And then old.
As you do.
But Tony rocks up and says, all right, I did it. I solved it. But we're going to need a full time. And so, a full team in order to do this.
Yeah, I was very confused for a minute.
And so that's when they go out and start gathering the rest of the Avengers back. Everyone sans Captain Marvel, who
had stuff to do, apparently.
I guess she she gets used way less in this film than I thought. Like, she gets used really awesomely.
Yeah.
But we do get the next most entertaining thing and one of the best things in the film, which is the Dude Hulk.
Yeah, this was great. This is my favorite incarnation of Thor because it was actually the most Thor-like Thor has ever been on screen.
It is. So for those who are unaware, is we get Chris Hemsworth in a fat suit for the rest of the film.
Yep.
Because they go there. This scene feels like, and that's what I was saying about Waititi earlier, this scene, because he's in this scene, feels like it was 100% just they let Waititi step behind the camera and direct the scene entirely because it feels like it's made by him. As they go to New Asgard, they see Valkyrie because Valkyrie also had something to do during Infinity War and wasn't there.
Yep.
I guess that's something to do was go and get her Pegasus back.
Gotta do it.
Yep.
Can't be without your Pegasus.
So she comes up. They talk to Valkyrie for like 30 seconds. And they're like, yeah, Thor's gonna be surprising. And we get fat suit Chris Hemsworth for the rest of the film.
It's glorious.
It's glorious, and it's actually really one of the best examples of storytelling in the film, because what I was saying earlier about him, he goes for the chest, and the you should have gone for the head line still haunts him. He still feels responsible. Everyone feels responsible.
Yeah, he was definitely dealing with some depression and that sort of thing, and just kind of let it all go.
Yeah. And so, that's the thing, is he has, much like Tony dealt with in Iron Man 3, and probably one of the only good parts of Iron Man 3, is Tony dealing with his PTSD from the New York incident. And so,
Thor hangs out with his buddies and plays Fortnite.
Yep. And drinks lots of beer.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's the good stuff.
Asgardian beer, I guess.
Yeah.
Again, we get to see, as he was saying, Hawkeye doing some weeb stuff.
Yes, it was fantastic.
It was, as he takes down the Yakuza, and much like the greatest villains, he has logic behind what he's doing, which is, you survived the snap, yet somehow you're still a piece of trash, so you don't deserve to live, so I'm going to kill you.
Makes sense.
And that is what Hawkeye does, is he is now Ronin, officially. As I said, he has the sleeve, he has the short hair, I've heard it be called a terrible fade. It kind of looks like a terrible fade, but I don't know.
Yeah, Destiny's take on this was, why is he hot now?
Yeah. That was kind of thing with Captain Marvel. Like, I'm trying to avoid saying it, but Captain Marvel looked 10 times hotter in this film than she does in her own. And I'm like, ah. But
I was like, I was never into him before, but
they pull it back. Why is it now? And this is where we start getting into some definitely like nerd stuff that you can tell they're trying to bypass, which is, and I guess you can tell they're fans because Back to the Future gets referenced a lot in this film.
So many times.
It does.
And then they do exactly the thing from Back to the Future,
too. Yeah, they do. And so they get into arguments about, someone was saying, like, I was reading the article, it's like Cosmic Punisher. I'm like, you're stupid. But they get into the argument. It's like, it's just a random reference, which is, why don't they go back and kill baby Thanos?
Oh, yeah.
And Hulk explains that you can't change your own future. All you're going to do is create an alternative future if you go back and do something like that. That in order to change the future we're in, the only thing we can do is get the stones and undo the snap.
Yeah, and they do that. Basically, are we to the time travel sequences yet?
We're going. So, things happen. We get the joke of everyone only, we have a test, two test trips and one there and one back, and him accidentally wasting one of the PIM articles, which is one of my favorite, probably one of my favorite jokes. One test trip. And so they pick the most dickish, heartbreaking test trip ever.
Yep.
They send, because Hawkeye's like, I don't care whether I live or die, I'll do the test trip. And they send him back to his family for 30 seconds. And you're like, okay, that was kind of a dick move.
Yeah, it's definitely not nice for sure.
It's like, I don't know if that was just like out of control, or could y'all not have just sent him back into the middle of the street, just more crowded?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to make sure that it worked. And the only way to do that is with pain.
Yeah. And so we get to the time heist. And so the time heist kind of was the thing that when we first had, before Infinity War, what was the last one before Infinity War?
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. Well, yeah. Was Age of Ultron the last MCU? No.
The last Avengers titled movie anyway.
Yeah.
Which one are you looking for? What happened in it?
Well, I'm trying to remember what was the last one. Was Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Right around Ragnarok, we start hearing, you know, what's the event, what's it going to be? And they came out and said it's a heist film.
Yep.
And so anyone that saw Infinity War, there's no heist film in that.
Nope.
This film, however, is they definitely a heist film. Around. Yeah, they flipped it around. And so we get the heist, what they keep referring to as the time heists, which is some fun stuff. So we get a chance to go back to Avengers, Thor 2, which was interesting because I would really think that's not one of the ones they want to reference, because that's also one that's not 100%.
Yeah, I liked it.
And then
they do
Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Guardians, and they also go back to 1970-something.
Well, yeah. So we get those three, and then, yeah. Was there a reference to that? Maybe I was just too out of thing when they go back to 1970?
It's just Camp Lehigh, where Captain America was
basically. Well, I got that part where he was created. I do like that. Were you actually born here? My idea was born here. Okay. Yeah. But no.
And that's where the original S.H.I.E.L.D. base was.
Yeah. No, the only thing, the reference was when he goes, I know. So they go back. Let's bring it back forward a little bit. They go back in time to each one. They try and collect an Infinity Stone. We get to the first, some of the funniest parts in the film is them going around. We see what happens immediately after the Avengers.
Yeah.
And that's some of the most entertaining parts. Captain America throwing one out there for the fan girls and boys of Cap, that suit does nothing for your ass.
That is objectively the worst Captain America suit, but that was the best joke of the whole movie.
That was.
That's America's ass.
I like it, Cap. That is America's ass. And then they have to steal the Tesseract back. They have to steal the staff, which has the Mind Stone, I believe.
Yep.
They go and steal, is it Space Stone from? I can't remember what each stone is.
I know we got Tesseract, Mind Stone, Soul Stone, Time.
Time. They get time back, and they just ask for time from. We get a nice Tilda Swilson in there.
She's like, but I need this.
Yeah, that was kind of the thing. But I need this, and we'll come to second something later. But yeah, Tilda Swilson being, we can't get this up. Stephen Strange gave it up to me. Oh, crap. I done messed up. Here, take it. And then Space Stone from Guardians?
That would check out.
Because
I've kind of lost track of which one is which other than the Soul Stone, which you have to kill someone for.
Yeah, we'll come to that.
Yeah.
And then because it's Power Stone that's in the powder form, right?
Where is that?
That's the red thing from that goes into Jane Foster in Thor 2.
Yes. I think that's right.
So yeah, so I believe it would be the Space Stone that they steal from Guardians, but we're getting, once again...
appropriately in space.
Yeah, appropriately in space. We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. They go through it. They manage to get everything but the Tesseract. We get to the first tragic thing in the film. The very first death in the film.
Oh, yes. I did not see that coming whatsoever.
Neither did I. So, for anyone that saw Infinity War, you have to give up something to get the Soul Stone. It's a soul for a soul. Because the Soul Stone, I guess, holds a special place among the stones.
Yep. So, you gotta make a sacrifice for it. And it's a blood sacrifice.
It is. And so, we get an argumentative scene. Clint's changed too much, he says, to go back to his family.
You think they would have warned them.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah. Well, she does say, it's like, Thanos went there alone. Thanos went there with Gamora and came back alone on their trip there, but, like, they're joking around, having fun, and then they get there, and yeah. We get the discussion. Clint talks about saying that he has changed too much to ever be a family man again, that he can't go back. Yeah. Widow basically says, you guys are my family, you're the only family I ever had, I've never had a past.
Yeah, she's gotten some really good characterization over the last couple of films.
She has. Her dad's name is Vladimir, I guess. Or what was it?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, but... they get into a battle of who's going to sacrifice themselves. Clint goes over, Black Widow flips it around on him and forces her to be the one to fall down.
Yeah, and I was sad.
Yeah.
And I was very confused because she still has a movie coming out.
Yeah, which she's a huge part of, apparently.
So I'm like,
yeah.
What happened?
We will see what they're going to do with that. But yeah, so Black Widow sacrifices herself to get the Soul Stone. Clint goes back. He's none too happy about it. As I said, while they're getting the Tesseract, it goes awry.
Yeah. It didn't quite go the way they needed it to go, for certain.
I'm definitely curious how Tony actually survived this. He gets hit in the face with a door by the Hulk.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. So, I guess we also learn how the Loki television show is most likely going to go.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the thingy.
Yeah.
I got the Tesseract. Wrecked. Bye.
Bye. He's still, I guess, trapped in handcuffs. Unless he can probably just get this off at any point in time or someplace, but...
Yeah, unless the same thing that happens to the Red Skull happens to him.
Yeah.
It's like, let me use this. Oh, no.
Yeah. Now I'm stuck here. But the Tesseract, he uses that to get out of there, so they have to go back and get the Tesseract. In order to go back and get the Tesseract, they travel back to the 1970s. And Tony says, he's like, we don't have enough Pym particles or enough Tesseract. Or the Tesseract, and Tony goes, I know where we can get both.
Yep.
And that's I don't know if that was a reference to something when he says, I'm fairly certain I know why.
I know that that's where it was in Avengers 1.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I know it was there. Like, I guess maybe he looked over old files of his dad's or something and it was in there.
Yeah, it would all check out.
But why he knew Hank Pym was there also. Yeah. We get weird CGI Michael Douglas again.
Yeah, I need to go back and redo the Ant-Man movies. I don't think I paid close enough attention to them, but they seem very enjoyable.
They're funny. The second one, we'll get into it during general MCU. But they go back. They steal the Tesseract. They have to steal some Pym particles.
Yeah.
And which causes Tony gets a chance and runs into his father. Which is a very sweet moment of him having conversation about his father, talking about raising Tony himself. It was nice.
I will note that Steve stole more than they needed.
Yeah. Steve steals the Pym particles in order for them to get back. He accidentally wanders into the office of one Sharon Carter.
Sharon's is... or her, rather. It's Margaret. Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy, sorry.
It's okay.
Peggy Carter.
What happened? Oh, that messed me up, because I'm like, okay, I see where you are, and I see it coming, and this is going to hurt me, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it did.
It definitely hurt. It is one of the most random...
I'm a big fan of their relationship.
Yeah. It is one of the, like, random moments of the film of, really, she never looks up in the whole entire time to see a guy standing in her office. I think you're a bit better trained than that, Peggy Carter, but...
Yeah, you would think so.
You'd also think you're a bit better trained than to leave your office door unlocked, but...
It was the 70s.
It was.
People have...
But yeah, we had a tragic moment of Steve looking over Peggy because she actually walks in during it, does some paperwork, yells at someone, and then walks back out of the frame. And
at some point, Arnim Zola's on screen for literally a second, and I completely missed it. I think I heard him, but I never saw him.
It's also weird that they talk how, I guess, Tony's dad was like just straight up okay with Arnim Zola.
Well, historically, that checks out.
Yeah, historically and realistically that is realistic, but it's still kind of weird.
We're going to execute you for war crimes, but we can build rockets?
Yeah, that's sick.
Okay, you're off the hook. Oh, woof.
Yeah. Operation Paperclip was a real thing.
Yes.
But, so they get back. They have all the stones. But one of the things that happened is Nebula, I guess, is on a Wi-Fi network in space.
Yeah, I didn't think about the multiple instances of her would one bleed into the other, but apparently that's the thing that'll happen.
Yeah, I guess so, because she ends up, and it's weird, like, how it happens is she starts projecting the other Nebula, and I'm like, I don't know why that would happen.
Who knows?
It's like when she starts projecting earlier, she has to physically do it.
Yeah. Peter Quill gets hit with a shovel.
Not even a shovel, he just gets hit with a fist. But
I just imagine it as a shovel for some reason.
That again was one of the... Them cutting out and just showing Peter dancing in the cave singing was awesome. It shows you how much of the music, how much music is part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And... for whatever reason, they definitely upped the 1970s music, even like not in the Guardians parts.
Yeah, I could see that. I really liked the aftermath of 2012, in which they end up on an elevator in the same predicament as the Winter Soldier somehow.
Yeah, and he shows it like unsnapping, and then
I really expected him to repeat the same before we start. Does anyone want to get offline? But didn't happen.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, and I was thinking he would kick Crossbones' butt for the third time.
Yeah.
But no, instead, like I said, I told you we'd come back around.
He kicks his own ass.
I told you we'd come back around to the big reveal in Winter Soldier, which is he instead goes to, I forget the name of the guy. He pops up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He pops up in...
Oh, man, I used to know that guy's name.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It has. Leans in and gives him a Hail Hydra.
Yeah. Let me see.
Shield and gets... Agent. So they just hand him the staff, and then Loki... Captain America stops him because Loki gets away and just goes, yo, guys, I found Loki, because obviously he thinks it's Loki. He gets to fight. I do like to get in the fight. I still like that at this point in time. It's so ingrained in him that when he grabs him... and he's choking him. Young Cap gets a drop and starts choking out old Cap.
Yeah.
And then get him to stop. He just goes, Bucky is alive.
Yep.
What did you say? And then, he knocks him out. We get the last line of just, that really is America's ass.
Yeah. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agent turncoat is Jasper Sitwell.
Yeah.
Who never was a traitor in the comics, interestingly. I think he just... got killed at some point.
Well, it's the exact same thing as what's-his-name in Iron Man 3. Yep. The Extremis storyline is he just dies at the very beginning of the Extremis storyline, and here he's the main bad guy. But...
yeah.
But we get the shenanigans end.
No, they don't. Because there's still stuff going on in Thor the Dark World where they gotta get the thing out of Jane Foster. Thor can't do it.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of the nice things. Thor can't do it. Like, he sees Jane Foster, which basically triggers his PTSD. of how much his life has fallen apart.
Yeah.
And the worrisome, and so he goes and he runs off to save his mother.
Yeah, which, I mean, yeah, that's what you would do,
it
I is,
think. It was, and it was this, realistic in what he probably would have done in real life. Him running off. The
scene between them was very, very sweet.
It was. He runs into his mother. I do like, he tries to pretend that he's the real Thor. What are you wearing? I always wear this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And his mother, of course.
Thor's the best.
Yeah.
He's even actually built like how people draw Thor.
Yeah.
Like, Thor is like, yes, he's muscular, but also he's very, very thick.
Yeah.
Like, so, it checked out. That's how Thor looks.
It does.
This is peak Thor, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, ladies. But he gets a chance to talk with his mother. Rocket has to go and stab.
Yeah, he's got to take care of literally everything.
While... He stabs Jane Foster running away from the guards.
I presume that didn't actually hurt her, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's not to say. Like, that was the one thing is he's like, all right, you're going to have to go in and charm Jane. It's like, he looks different.
Yeah, and he's accompanied by a talking raccoon, which, I mean, I think she would be numb to this by now, considering everything, but...
Also, there are scenes where she just straight up gets knocked out in the film that they could have just waited to get her then, true. But no.
I was surprised she came back, but she could have been made entirely out of B-roll, for all we know.
Yeah. I do think she was credited in it, but
oh, yeah.
A lot of people were credited at the end credits that I didn't realize were there, because...
Yeah. Well, I think they just said, here's everybody who was in our movies.
Yeah.
Congrats. You did it.
Everyone that did it, yeah. Because like I said, I was like, was Colby Smulders there?
I don't think she was, but I think that she got a title card just
because... she gets like her own title card, but beside the point...
She was important.
Everyone gets their stuff, they come back, they mourn... Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow.
They have built their own Infinity Gauntlet, Tony style.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was like, okay, I'm with this. This is fine.
Yeah. They get in the argument of who's going to use it. Thor wants to be the one to use it because Thor still thinks it's his own fault that all this happened.
Yeah.
And that he's...
It's like, I can take it.
Yeah. The one strong enough to take it, which... In the comics, yes, this Thor, who knows?
I mean, he was still...
It turns out that... Hulk's like, it's primarily gamma radiation anyways. I absorb all gamma. I was basically born to do this. I never realized that. And so Hulk undoes the snap, but oh snap, something happens. And this is what I was saying earlier. When both nebulas come together on the same Wi-Fi network, it knocks out the old nebula.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. No. Too many devices on one network. One went down. So they capture Future Nebula, and they take Future Nebula and stick it back on Dark Nebula, and stick all her parts onto Dark Nebula.
Yeah, she had a distinctive, like, gold trim thing on her head after. Yeah,
which I think is getting dropped off, or happens after she gets dropped off the ship in Guardians 1. But
so that was the way she was able to have a cunning disguise.
Yeah. I really expect them just to disable Future Nebula, but they never do.
Nope.
It's really weird that Zoe Saldana's character just lets them go back and do, like, get way further. Because, like, she was planning on stopping them in Guardians 1.
Yeah.
So the fact that she lets them get way further into the plan is really weird and, like, one of the has kind of... Let it slide thing. But she ends up going back in Nebula's place. And what does she also do? She brings back Thanos' ship through.
Oh, no.
It is a bit of an oh, no, but at the exact same time, there is also a bit of, to me, oh, no, we have to fight a young Thanos that has no stones. Like... Even when they fought him the first time, he has the Power Stone.
Yeah, but, you know, he's an end boss.
He is.
He's tough.
He is. Thanos comes out. He attempts to blow up everything. I do like what ends up happening. He blows up everything, which sets up the final battle. I do like he starts changing his philosophy because he sees what happens to him. He's like, well, that's what's always going to happen at some point in time. And he just goes...
He's like, oh, man, maybe nihilism isn't cool.
Yeah. Oh, maybe nihilism isn't cool, and that's basically what he says is, I now see I can't eliminate half of everything because you're always going to be wanting something else. I can't let anyone live. I have to kill everyone instead.
Yeah.
Which is what I'll do. I'll just kill everyone this time and just rebuild the planet myself.
Yep. I am doubling down on the nihilism and you can't stop me.
Yeah. So it's a cool change of philosophy in there to see it happen. We get into probably the most epic fight scene between the three.
Yeah, it was nice.
And we finally get the moment. We get the payoff that we've been waiting for. Thor gets Mjolnir back in the past, and it is one of these things that's like, how did you beat the Dark Elves if you didn't have Mjolnir on your side, man?
He's Thor. He can do it.
Yeah. And so...
punched everyone real hard.
They fight him, because Tony, Cap, and Thor go and fight him. They're like, you know, it's a trap. It's like, no duh. Still, we have to keep him distracted until we figure everything out. They go. They keep fighting him.
And it finally happens.
It does. The moment everyone's been waiting for. Thanos gets Stormbreaker. He's about to kill Thor by pushing it into the chest, a la the first thing. And what happens is Mjolnir gets called, because he now wields both Mjolnir and Stormbreaker.
Yep.
But it's not called by Thor.
Nope. Cap has it.
Yep. Because it's called by Cap, because Cap has always been worthy.
He was worthy in Age of Ultron. Because Thor goes, I knew it!
Yeah. Thor gets fun and goes, I knew it.
Yeah, because it does jiggle a little bit, and he's clearly trying to play it off that he can't lift it he can. He's like, I don't want to show you up.
He lift it, he also gets the ability to control lightning.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what being a super soldier is all about.
So they fight some more. This is definitely what brings the whole... This is what triggers Thanos to be... to start telling the alter nihilism, but it also ends with Thanos going, you can't stop me, and brings in the whole Saturan army that he uses to conquer planets behind him.
Yeah, he's like, well, gotta do some super genocide, so yeah, don't mind me. He
brings everyone down. And this is the thing in the film that got me to actually tear up, is they're standing there facing everyone. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do, and then you just hear on the radio, hey, Cap, on your left.
Oh, yeah, same. Literally everyone reinforces them.
Yeah, and you see everyone that was gone shows back up.
Except Black Widow.
Yeah, except Black Widow.
Which I was kind of sad about. I was hoping they would have figured that out.
They tried, and there's a theory, and we'll talk about it in a second. But everyone shows back up. We get one of the most epic fight scenes. Everyone does what they're going to do. Pepper shows up in...
Yeah, the rescue armor.
The rescue armor. Is that what I about to say? I know it's rescue or safety, something like that.
Yep. It was sweet. And you do get the line finally, which you've waited several movies to see.
Yeah. You get the line, Avengers Assemble. And you didn't get any of the three lame theme songs to go along with it. Too bad. Avengers Assemble. Always we will fight as one.
That cartoon was so good.
It was. I do like the song. And realistically, I do like that song. But no, so they end up going on through fighting. And throughout the whole entire time, Hawkeye has the gauntlet because he managed to get the gauntlet, blow up a bunch of dogs. It's weird that it's only the dogs that come down and not any of the Centauri human soldiers.
Yeah. The Centauri are busy.
Yeah. So Hawkeye has it.
And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Thanos quickly realizes that the only way he can do this is if he gets that gauntlet back. And so he goes to get that gauntlet. They fight. This may be an unpopular opinion. I don't know if you'll share this.
Okay.
So they all get their big walkout moment. Cap, Bucky, and Falcon...
Yeah.
Panther and Black Panther and...
Everyone in Wakanda.
Yeah, everyone in Wakanda. They don't have what's-his-name from... They don't... Like, they try doing the chant, but you can also tell that Black Panther's nowhere near as good as leading that chant as what's-his-name is. Everyone in Wakanda. But the thing with Black Panther is, I'm sorry to say this, Sherry, you really haven't earned that hero walkout moment yet.
She's cool.
She's cool, but like when she like walks out with Black Panther and his general that stands at his side, I feel really bad that I can't remember her name right now.
Look it up real quick.
Yeah.
But I know that she's popular with little girls, so it's fine.
Hope walks out, starts fighting with Ant-Man. Literally, everyone walks out. Strange shows up with the rest of the wizards.
Yeah, like, when Spider-Man, we say which, everybody, again, we mean everybody.
Everyone that's in the movies.
Ed Norton came back. It was real weird. man, I was soaking all that up so good.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Drax, everyone comes back. They start fighting. We start getting... Hawkeye gets overwhelmed. He has to throw it to Black Panther.
Black Panther is now cool with him.
Yeah.
Who was not prior.
Yeah. You get that fun thing of him throwing it to Black Panther. Black Panther has to get it back to Spider-Man. And again, I start tearing up. Mr. Stark, I'm back.
I feel great.
Yeah. Remember that dusting thing?
It's okay.
Yeah. It's weird that they know they got dusted, but I guess we'll see that in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. That's soon.
Yeah. But Spider-Man gets knocked down. He starts shooting missiles from the sky.
I was so about to cut you off with, but he got up again. Yeah, nothing's ever going to keep him down. Pissing the night away.
You have a whiskey drink, you have a lager drink, you have a vodka drink, you have a cider drink.
Hey, it's all on brand with Iron Man. Wow.
Yeah. It is. But now, he gets back up, or he gets knocked down.
We just said this.
It was, yes, we did. It was raining missiles. The missiles turn to the sky. Why is that? Captain Marvel shows up and just straight up destroys...
Everything.
Everything.
All the ships.
All the ships and all the flying Centauri. Yeah. She tells you, give me the shield.
Those things have a name, but I don't remember it.
Yeah. She sees Peter. Hey, I'm Captain Marvel. I'm Spider-Man. Give me the shield or give me the gauntlet. Because, like, they destroyed it. Because, like, we have to go back in time. And Hank and Hope, or not Hank, Scott and Hope, are like, haha, we still have the van. Because somehow that van is the most important piece of Ant-Man's history right now. Because they destroyed a time machine, not that one. And so, yeah, they're attempting to do that. And the big thing is they have to get it across to send it back in time so that way Thanos can't get it. They go through that cool moment, slightly hokey moment at the exact same time. Do you think it went too far? Because she shows up. Like, there's like 10,000 soldiers standing in front of her, and then they just went. Peter asks, how are you going to get that far? And she goes, she's going to have help. And then Pepper comes down, and that's what I'm saying. Mantis and Shuri, I think, are like the second ones to show up, and I'm like, once again, both of y'all haven't really earned that yet.
She's the lady with the antenna. She's great.
She's great. I'm not saying she's a bad character, but I'm like, you have your abilities to put people to sleep.
She just feels so much.
Yeah.
But no, you're really asking me if I liked that moment? Of course I liked that moment.
No, I like that moment. It still feels a tiny bit hokey, though, and a little over the top.
Well, having a little girl next to you who's super into it.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. I'm about to say, you're a father of a daughter. And I know that was way special. And once again, being a man.
Yeah.
I know that. I wrote, once again, I'm not saying it's a bad moment. I'm not complaining. It was a really cool moment. It was a really good moment. But once again, all the women show up and help her.
I mean, could they stand to have more female characters? Yeah.
Yeah.
They could. But they did the best with what they had.
All the women show up. They help her. right before she's about to go back in time, though. I think she had to give it to Hope to go back in time. But right before they do that, Thanos throws his helicopter blade into the thing, because that is his weapon. Is Cap Shield destroyed at this point? I think it's already destroyed.
It's pretty cut up, I think.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing about it, is the comic book man in me knows that I think Thanos cracked it by hand in that, doesn't he?
I think so.
I think he, like, punches part of it off or something. In this, like, it gets broken by getting repeatedly struck. I'm like, you couldn't really break the shield doing that.
Well, it's Space Hitler. He can do things, we presume.
Yeah. Apparently he has something harder than vibranium, because he cracks it,
yeah,
rips it back, cracks it that way.
You never know what's up there.
Yeah. He keeps fighting. But that is, we're getting, that's backwards to go forwards. They blow it up. They keep fighting a little bit more. Once again, something almost happens. And Thanos gets the gauntlet.
Oh no!
I did kind of expect a joke. Like, the gauntlet can change size, and it changed size into Hulk's hand, so I did almost expect it to, like, change size down so Thanos couldn't put it on.
If the gauntlet don't fit, you must acquit.
But yeah, even if the gauntlet fits, you can still acquit. But he gets the gauntlet. What are they going to do? He starts fighting with Marvel for the first time. Marvel's able to fight him for a little bit.
He just removes everyone.
Yeah.
It's great.
He removes one of the stones. I think he removes the power or space, one of the two, to power himself up, to punch her away. They get the idea. He looks at Strange. Strange gives him a one sign.
Oh, Dr. Strange.
Yeah.
You're great.
Tony goes fighting him. Thanos sits there and goes, I've won. As I've said, I'm inevitable. Snap. But wait.
Oh no.
Snap again. But wait, something happened. It turned around to reveal Tony took all the stones.
Surprise.
Tony puts them onto his hand. Tony snaps away everything.
Yeah, and delivers his famous line.
I am Iron Man. I remember sitting there in the theater. Yeah, we'll get into it during the general MCU. But Tony snaps away everyone.
Ooh, it was real good.
It was real good. They're celebrating their victory. They turn around. Tony's not feeling too good.
Nope. He's not feeling too good at all, but he's not turning into dust, so that's an improvement.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get dusted last time, but
we look and see. As I said, Tony is unfortunately being kept alive by the suit and the suit only.
Yeah, I guess it pretty much takes it all out of you to use that thing. So,
well, as I said, it puts out a blast of gamma radiation.
Yeah, this movie made me really like Iron Man, because I was always like, man, Iron Man's like just this rich dude who doesn't know anything about sacrifice and all that. And then in the end, he's like, oh, well, you know. Well, I guess he kind of proved himself first in the first Avengers when he flew the nuke into space.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, thanks. Good on you. And then he made an ultimate sacrifice yet again. And I was like, you know what, Iron Man, you're okay. You get my stamp of approval.
He definitely did. He definitely has shown the most growth, gets the most redemption out of all the characters. Yeah, he snaps, and Tony is no more. The first two have fallen.
Yep, and oof. It's like, it's not even my favorite character, and that's still really rough. I was really sad.
I was too. It cuts back. Everyone's back. Clint gets the air from his family.
Yeah.
Everything's right in the world.
I must have. I really wanted like more of that phone call. Like, what the f- happened?
Yeah. Honey, we'll talk about it more. But, honey, Yakuza may come after us at one point in time. Just be aware of that.
But don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's fine. I'll deal with it when it comes to it. Everything happens. And we get to Tony's funeral.
Yeah, which everyone came to.
Yeah.
Including the kid we forgot about from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I was about to say, everyone, again, I get why he wasn't there. I think he's a bad guy now. It would have been nice to have Phil Coulson walk out when Samuel L. Jackson walked out, too.
Is he a bad guy?
I think he's a bad guy in the most recent Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or in the most newest season.
Let me see. Anyway, go on.
But everyone comes. It ends on Nick Fury. And then we cut to people being in the woods. And who is it? It's Sam, Bucky, Professor Hulk, and Ant-Man. And so the big thing when they took the Infinity Stones, and this is what they talk about the timeline, and one of the ways he's able to get the stone back is Tony. The way they do it to preserve their timeline is he has to put them back the moment before they're taken.
Yep. So we got to go on another crazy time mission.
This one is unseen, though, for a particular reason. So he puts them back. He's only supposed to be gone for about 5 seconds their time. So you hear the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Press the button. Nothing. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Press the button. Nothing. But wait. There's an old man sitting there on a park bench over there, isn't there?
Yep.
Wonder who it is.
It's Steve.
It is.
He took Mjolnir back. He kept his promises to literally everyone.
Yeah.
He did the stones. He had a real awkward encounter with Red Skull, I assume.
So which this
I would have loved to have seen.
Well, this is one of the theories I was hearing about is... So the way the Soul Stone is described and works is soul for a soul. That's how it works.
Yeah.
One of the theories I was hearing people talk about is... Traditionally, I don't like these online theories, Instagram theories of people talking. But one of the ones I saw that was interesting is when he puts the Soul Stone back, it should be, once again, this change. The soul for a soul. So either he has to hide the Soul Stone, which I don't think can be done, or you would have to get the soul given that was given. So I've heard that maybe Black Widow can come back that way.
Okay. Yet to be seen, but we can only hope.
Yeah.
A lot of people are actually upset with this ending for this character.
And I'm like, but yeah, we're about to get to that. So
this is perfect.
So it goes on. They get over to the park bench. It's old Steve. They start talking. Sam starts talking to him after Bucky says, go up, say hi. So Sam starts talking to him. I guess Bucky definitely knows in this storyline that it's Sam that spent the most time with him, not Bucky at this point in time.
Well, it could have been agreed upon in advance.
Yeah, it also could have. But he starts talking to him. Cap says, you know, I lived a good life. There was nothing really for me. He never actually says that. But this is what I was saying about Cap always feeling like a man out of time in the MCU.
Yeah.
Is he's finally given the chance to go back. And, well, he just decided to stick this time.
Yeah, he goes back to Peggy. And I really like it because he's done everything he was supposed to do in that time. And he still had one promise that he wasn't able to keep. So he went back and they had their dance.
Yeah. And that was definitely a good moment. As you said, and as I was saying earlier, this has split the Stan community down the middle.
I like it.
I like it too. I think it's a very good fitting ending for the character. A lot of people are upset because, well, basically, you know, he refers to the Avengers as his family. He finally has Bucky back, which is a big thing for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like he's not probably going to still live for a while. He's got that serum in his blood.
Yeah. He's best friends with Sam. A lot of people thought that he should have come back to be with his family instead of them putting romance above everything else. I know there are definitely a few give Captain America a boyfriend people out there that were upset, though.
It's the 1940s. He's got to see his best gal.
Yeah. once again, I've never been big into the homosexual energy between Bucky and Cap. I've never really seen any of that.
I don't know if it's really there. I know it's mainly a Batman and Robin thing.
Yeah. I've read a good article about it that was saying that basically Batman and Robin, it's not so much that as much as it is
a product of its time.
Well, a product of its time, and it's more Batman didn't really have a childhood, so it's more a no girls allowed on a clubhouse than it is a homosexual relationship between the two. But a lot of people wanted him to come back. A lot of people are upset. You know, once again, we both liked the ending. I thought it was good. I thought it was touching. I thought it was appropriate for him.
Well, it's a good bookend to everything. They pretty much just told you what the Disney Plus series is going to be about, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Probably going to change that title.
Correct. We forgot to mention the last thing he does while sitting on the bench before we fade back to the final, to the dance, to keeping the promise, is Sam gets the shield.
Yeah. Bucky's like, it never really felt like it belonged to me. So,
yeah.
There you go. Boom. Problem solved.
They did for 10 seconds seem like it was going to go to Bucky because he gives the shield to Sam, goes, try it on.
Yeah.
How's it feel? Like it doesn't belong to me. And at that moment, it could have like felt like it could have been turned around and given to Bucky. But at the exact same time, we had talked about in our first episode, it's not like Bucky really deserves the shield in the comic either.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He just doesn't necessarily feel like he's the best candidate for it.
Yeah.
And within the context of what happens in the movies and everything, he's almost a completely different character entirely. And within that context, it doesn't necessarily make sense for him to be Captain America either.
Yeah.
But it does make sense for him to be Captain America's partner. So, yeah. There you go.
It definitely does. So Sam now has the shield. Sam is now Captain America. I guess we're going to have to wait and see his costume, I imagine. Yeah.
I bet a lot of people are going to be mad, and you know what? I'm here to lick up all that, because...
Well, I mean, literally, Sam got the shield recently, and the... Was it...
It was all new, all different Marvel.
Yeah, about to say, I know it's something in there. Yeah. I wanted to say New 52, but that's DC.
Guess what? He basically fights a bunch of Red Hat racists, and well, guess what? It's great.
The first one, the first comic is literally called Not My Captain America, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll cover that eventually. But
it's like, hey, you know what you should be doing with the Captain America character? This right now. Hope you do that on the TV show. So
we never have an MC. They forgo the traditional after credit scene.
Yeah, you just get hammer sounds.
Which some people, that's another conspiracy, people say, ooh, maybe that's not Tony, maybe that's the kid working on something in Iron Man 3. The kid from Iron Man 3 working on something? I'm like, I doubt it. Unless they're going to come back with like a robotic Tony.
That's a weird pull.
It is. Like I said, all's well that ends well. It's a really good movie. It feels the most final out of all of them.
I was like, you know what? I think I'm okay with Marvel just being done. But I am admittedly looking forward to Spider-Man.
Yeah, they just put out a new trailer.
Because yeah. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't even see every Marvel movie anymore. I did get fatigued, and I still enjoyed myself. I still knew everything that was happening. If you don't want to see a certain one, you don't have to. You can still enjoy these movies as they are.
Yeah, I was reading someone saying that.
You have to see every one, and it's like, no, you don't.
They took their kid after seeing none of them, and they still had a good time, yeah. Obviously. The deaths aren't going to impact you as nearly as much as if you've seen everything.
Yeah.
That kind of goes into the fact that the very first, well, technically second Fast and Furious film I ever saw was Fast 8. What was the most recent one that came out? Was it 8 or 9?
It was 9.
Was Fast and Furious 9?
Hold on. I don't know if that's right. It was the Fate of the Furious.
The Fate of the Furious, and when they murder their girl from those two movies, I'm like, I don't know who that is. From what I understand, you're not really well.
Oh, the Brazilian cop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I understand, not a lot of people like you anyway.
So. I mean, she was a fine character. It was just, they just didn't do a whole lot with her.
Yeah.
I still don't know the chronology of when they had that child.
Yeah. But yeah, like when she gets murdered, I'm just like, yep, that was a death scene that definitely happened. Charlize Theron sure is evil, I guess.
Sure is. How'd we get here?
We'll find out in Calvin and Hobbes. We have gone from stealing TV VCR combos, which were really awesome back in the day.
Yeah, I had a friend who had one.
Two. We literally have Idris Elba, who is actually bulletproof. Not like,
yeah,
metaphorically, like 100% actually just a bulletproof man.
Look, this was the way it was always going from the first movie, and nobody can tell me any different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Jason came.
Little sad shit. What did you? Any final thoughts?
I mean, if you liked any of the prior movies, if you've seen all the ones that started off this whole thing, go see it. It's gonna get you right in your feels, and I think you're gonna have a good time. It's an enjoyable experience, and man, like, it really, like you said, does not feel like 3 hours. It'll go by pretty quick.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people will tell you and get mad at you, but you don't have to see every movie to enjoy it. As long as you've seen most of them, or a good majority of them, you're fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of good in there. There's a very good film, a lot of touching things, a lot of ends that are well-deserved.
I'm looking forward to seeing where exactly they go from there. A lot of people are like, well, it's just like, Presley was just straight up mad that there's no more Captain America that she can see after that. And I'm like, well, he's old now. I'm like, well, you know.
Well, there technically will be, but.
He could be like old man S.H.I.E.L.D. director Cap, but I'm like trying to explain to her, like, there's a new Captain America now. And then she's like, oh, okay. So.
We're definitely going to be curious. The new trailer for Spider-Man, you said you haven't watched it yet?
Nope, need to see it.
Give us hints of where they're going?
Yeah, obviously you've already been big spoiled if you've been listening to this, but there's apparently big spoilers in that trailer.
Well, yeah, that's what people are saying is Mr. Spoiler himself came out and it was like, ha-ha! There are huge spoilers if you haven't seen Endgame. Don't watch this trailer. Why they cut it that way, I don't know. But there's another big spoiler in the middle of that.
Oh?
Well, essentially, the second snap opened up other Earth portals.
Oh, fun.
So
literally anything can happen at any point now.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a thing that's going to happen. That's a thing that's going on. So we will see how that's going to go. That seems like maybe they probably should have held back a little bit on that, but
yeah, to be determined. We'll see how everything shakes out.
Yeah.
I have not bought a single Avengers Endgame toy. I used to be right on top of all that stuff, but oh well, such is budgets.
They've been having the giant. Our display at work is Infinity War with the giant Thanos, Black Widow, and Iron Man.
Okay.
The doll.
The 12-inch ones?
The 12-inch ones.
Yeah. I don't like those.
That are Legacy, I think. Which seems like it's like the biggest thing Legacy made me. I can't remember which one they are, but.
Oh, like the detailed ones or like the really hard plastic ones that just can do this?
The really hard plastic ones I can just move around. Because I'm about to say it's the Barbie-sized doll, but I don't know what that would be referred to as.
Those are just basics, I think. I don't remember what exactly they're called.
But yeah, we had those.
Titan Heroes is what they're called, my bad.
Titan Heroes, yeah. They seem to be selling well, but I'm sure.
They're cheap, that's why.
I was about to say, I'm sure if I give it a week, I can walk back to the discount, and they'll probably all be on the discount shelf in the back in the toys section. Yeah. So if I really want one, which toys aren't really my thing. I do statues, marionettes.
Yeah. Toys are my thing.
Yeah.
But you all knew that if you're listening to us.
Yes. I wish really do wish it was toys, because let me tell you, Marinettes are like $60 to $80 to $500 a piece. So
I'm visualizing the
the moving things.
Oh, okay.
Now, statues, I think.
Oh, maquettes?
Maquettes.
Okay, I was real confused. I'm like, marionettes.
Maquettes are...
I'm like, I've never known you to have a single puppet, Ryan. What else are you hiding from me?
Wouldn't you like to know? No. Maquettes are, like I said, a very interesting thing to have and move around with. I have a giant Batgirl one leaping over a mantle.
Nice.
I have one for Warehouse 13. I have two black and white Bob Kane's Batman and a black and white Joker. Yeah. But.
Man. Should we go like 2 more hours just to get the same length of the movie?
Yeah.
It's evident they were both really tired now. We're not going to do that.
We won't. Once again, highly recommend it. You should go see it.
Yes.
It's a good film. It was a good ending.
Yeah, I mean, everything has an end, and sometimes maybe it's not what you expected. I understand some disappointment on that, but for me, it worked. So.
And unfortunately, the thing that happens with time travel film always happens, which is 10,000 debates on how time travel works now are happening. But
yeah, the thing with time travel is just don't think about it too much. It's fine. Just go with it.
All right.
I plugged things earlier, but again, subscribe to us on everything. Give us 5-star reviews. We'll be on YouTube soon. If you want to buy a shirt or any of our weird gimmicks, please do so on redbubble.com. You can always shoot us a DM if you need the link. Subscribe to the Patreon if you want to. We will probably have a video of this very recording session up on there. It looks like it will be washed out by light. But you know what? It's there if you want to be behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's there and something we're working on.
So we'll have that sorted out.
Thank you to... I'm sorry, I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Finn...
Oh, I got you. Finn Talisker, it looks like.
Finn Talisker Music on YouTube for the 8-bit Avengers theme. F-I-N-N-T-A-L... I-S-K-E-R Music on YouTube. Thank you for that.
Yes, it was quite nice. Honestly, it sounds very close to one of my ringtones right now, and I was really confused at how Ryan got it. And I was like, oh, never mind, this is the Avengers theme by Alan Silvestri, my bad.
All right.
So I'm going to cue that up again. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do all the things we said to do. Bye!